Committee has held a public hearing and a committee meeting, and it was to address an alternative to include a range of possession limits from 30 to 40,000 pounds that would apply throughout the Mid-Atlantic and Southern New England exemption areas. We also had another alternative that would raise the possession limit to 40,000 over a narrower geographical range. These alternatives were discussed at public hearing and by the Oversight Committee. As I said, we have actions today to approve the final amendment, hopefully, for documents in your binder. Things you'll probably want to pull out to take a look at during this discussion: a draft Amendment 19 public hearing document, draft Amendment 19, the actual draft of the amendment. There's a summary of the public hearings, and there are a number of written comments on the revised draft of Amendment 19. The subject of the trip limit was, by Whiting standards, controversial. It actually provoked quite a bit of discussion. So I urge you to take a look at those documents, and staff member Andrew Applegate will present an update.
Thank you very much. As David outlined, we are at the final stages of approving this this amendment. I'm going to fill in a little bit of details about where we're at and what's been done, but I'm going to focus on the major choice here today in terms of raising the southern whiting possession limit. First, in terms of the Amendment 19 process, we developed ABC recommendations and ACL reference points last summer with the SSC, and developed final draft alternatives in the fall. The council approved the draft alternatives in January, and we revised the document and took it out to public hearing in April with five public hearings. The committee met right after the set of April meetings and recommended final alternatives, which the council voted on in April. We were set to take final action on the amendment, but a late idea or discussion developed to raise the southern whiting possession limit, which was not included in the draft amendment taken out the public hearing. So at the last meeting, the council decided to have one additional public hearing, revise the draft amendment, and obtain comments from the public about raising the possession limit. And so we're here in June. We have had a bit of luxury of time in developing the final measures because the secretarial amendment, which was based upon the work that we had done in last summer and fall, took effect on May 1, 2012, which included stock-wide ACLs and TALs. It included incidental possession limits of 400 pounds for red hake and 1,000 pounds for silver hake that would take effect when landings reach 90% of the TAL. It includes an annual monitoring process and postseason AMs, which are a pound-for-pound payback for when catches exceed the ACL. Draft Amendment 19 considers a broader range of alternatives, which include things like small mesh fishery exemption area landings targets, quarterly TALs, broader range of in-season AMs, and so on. The council approved final alternatives at the April meeting, which include new overfishing definitions, a three-year specifications package, annual monitoring reports prepared by the Fishery Service and reviewed by the Whiting PDT. This is a little bit different process than is in the secretarial amendment. Stockwide TAL for the northern area, a stockwide annual TAL in the southern area with quarterly allocations when landings reach two-thirds of the TAL to be implemented after consultation with the council. There was some discussion of that at the last meeting. Incidental possession limits of both areas, 400 pounds for red hake, which is the same as the secretarial amendment, 2,000 pounds for silver hake, which is an increase over a secretarial amendment based upon analyses in the draft amendment and comments at public hearings, and a postseason AM, which reduces the 90% trigger if catch exceeds the ACL. This is a bit different than in the secretarial amendment. The final alternatives also included a year-round red hake possession limit of 5,000 pounds and a year-round. And what's under consideration today is a year-round southern whiting possession limit raised from 30,000 pounds for vessels that use 3-inch or larger mesh trawls to up as much as 40,000 pounds in a portion or all of the exemption areas in the Mid-Atlantic, which we include the southern stock area. The amendment includes an outline of the and framework for the specifications. This is a little small on the presentation, but is included in your public hearing document, and you have a copy of this presentation, which was in your binder material. There's a map showing the outline of the northern and southern stock areas. And we look at the catches and ACLs in terms of those stock areas. For red hake in the southern area in the south, the catches have been about half of the ACLs, but in the northern area is about the same level as the ACL, especially in 2010. It varies from year to year. With silver hake, and this is the important point that's in front of you today, the catches have been well under the ACLs in both areas, and in fact, even the catches have been well under the TALs. There are three alternatives which were developed based upon analysis, reviewed by the committee before they were included in the document, and analyzed and taken out the public hearing. One alternative is to raise the possession limit from 30,000 pounds up to as much as 40,000 pounds in all of the Mid-Atlantic and Southern New England exemption areas, essentially all of the Mid-Atlantic, Southern New England, and the southern flank of Georges Bank, as described in Section 5.7.4.1 of the amendment document, and there's a summary discussion in the public hearing document. A second alternative is to raise the possession limit to 40,000 pounds in a portion of the southern New England exemption area, which extends essentially from the center of Long Island out to the eastern end of Georges Bank. I have a map in here that shows that during the presentation. And the third alternative is the status quo. Here's the map. The hatched area on the left is the Mid-Atlantic exemption area. The shaded area it's not just the shaded area, but the shaded area below the red line represents the southern New England area. This plot shows the distribution of trips with more than 28,000 pounds of landings. There are some that occur around the Hudson Canyon in the east area, just south of Long Island, and there's a considerable number of trips that occur on the eastern end of Georges Bank, about the 67 degrees 40 minutes east of Mudson Canyon. So we looked at a number of issues, including non-target catch and the effect on prices. The issue here is achieving optimum yield. The direct effects by the existing whiting fleet, if you raise the possession limit to 40,000 pounds and the fleet takes the same number of trips, the landings could increase as much as 873,000 pounds or $650 million. There's a total potential effort shift of 236 trips by 111 vessels, which could raise landings by 9.4 million pounds, $5.8 million. 154 of those trips are by vessels that currently take whiting trips, 78 vessels in the whiting fleet. Now, the potential effort shift were vessels that landed large quantities of other species in the mid-Atlantic using trawls. And so this is where this number comes from. We analyzed the effect on price. There seemed to be a modest effect on short-term effect on price within a period of the same day or 3 days of landing, that there was about a 0.6 cent reduction in price for every 1% increase in landings. And that, of course, varies. The percent increase varies from month to month. But the effects were modest. This was an issue that was brought up by the advisors, particularly in the north, and is one of the major factors under discussion. And so, finally, there's a plot of the distribution effects by latitude. You see about 85% of the trips occur east of the 67 degrees, 40 minutes. And so there are potential effects on price, there are potential effects on non-target species, and there's a potential effort shift to consider when you make this decision about which alternative to approve as final. Thank you very much.
Okay, we have a motion on behalf of the committee. First motion, please. Okay, I move on behalf of the Whiting Oversight Committee to approve section 5.7.4.1 as a final alternative, raising the southern whiting possession limit to 40,000 pounds in the mid-Atlantic and southern New England exemption area.
Committee motion doesn't require a second. I am going to go to the public for comment first, then bring it back to the council. Anyone in the audience like to comment on this? Vito.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Vito J. Calamo. I am the fisheries staff person in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts for United States Senator Scott Brown. And I also am a member of the Whiting Advisory Panel and its chairman of the Advisory Panel on Whiting. And I do not speak for them at this time. I speak for Vito J. Calamo and United States Senator Scott Brown. I am opposed to the increase to 40,000 pounds. It may not seem like much, but it's 10,000 pounds to more or less large vessels. And at this time, Mr. Chairman, I kind of got a little backwards here with my notes, but I'll do the best I can. That We need this whiting fishery probably the second time in my lifetime for the small vessels that have been ousted by the sectors, the sector plan, I should say. Allowing 40,000 pounds for these large vessels that fish in the southern area, you say, what's that got to do with the northern area? It has a lot to, Mr. Chairman. That fish enters the same market, like the New York Stock Exchange, the New York fish market in this case. And that's where the price happens to fall. Last year I kind of followed it because it was a big resurgence of whiting entering the northern area. We've seen big whiting that I haven't seen in years. As a kid, I went whiting fishing. I worked in the whiting plants. We have no more real whiting plants per se that we had many years ago, the cutting houses in Gloucester, Maine, and down to the southern area. We don't have them per se. We lost that market to Argentina, I think. And this market that's being developed, again, for the small boats, in reference to what's happening with the codfish and the yellowtail flounder, Mr. Chairman, is very important. Again, it's the second most important time of my lifetime because it was a massive fishery for Gloucester and other parts of Massachusetts to be in the whiting fishery. People made at least half of their living fishing for whiting fishery. And I look at this whiting fishery today, Mr. Chairman, for a haven of what's taking place. Again, I'll be redundant with the sector plan and now facing the codfish and the yellowtail major problem in our fishery. Mr. Chairman, a small vessel, and we heard other counselors from New Hampshire and Maine talk about the small vessels. I heard other people talk about small vessels. They can make a living, but a lot less than 40,000 pounds. And we could allow more vessels to enter that fishery if we keep it at 30,000 pounds with the 3-inch mesh. Mr. Chairman, I've had a meeting with fishermen from Massachusetts, mainly from Gloucester. And I had a meeting just recently in my office in Boston with the senator, with fishermen. And I had a meeting with the new owner and manager of the Gloucester Seafood Auction, with other members of the State Fisheries Commission. And he has told us he is in the whiting business, but he would expand the whiting business to allow many of the small boats to unload to the auction into his whiting plant and would expand processing of whiting in another market that he has, which is in the foreign market. Right now, to fill his market, he is importing a lot of whiting from Canada, which is fine for him, but he'd rather do it with the people that he serves and that serve him actually at the auction from Maine and New Hampshire and the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. We did go to the hearings and we did go through the process, and this was a very touchy process. Again, Mr. Chairman, and all of you counselors sitting here today, this would help out at a time of need. The smaller vessels that everybody's talked about from yesterday to today that I heard loud and clear, that I believe in, it would also keep the bigger vessels that go offshore for these whiting. They've made it with their 30,000 pounds for years. And I sat on the Whiting Committee when I was a New England Fisheries Management Counselor with Frank Blount, and we went up and down the coast trying to develop a whiting fishery using a larger mesh trawl in the cod end. And today we've been successful after years of barnstorming. I don't think this moves in the right direction at this time. And I implore and beg the council to think about what you're doing here again. I heard you very clear this morning. And I haven't seen too many of you or heard too many of you support the sectors. Well, you have sectors. And you have a crisis with your smaller vessels, whether you come from Maine, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, or Rhode Island. And Connecticut. I believe that not supporting this would help them vessels that you talk about today and care about. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Anyone else in the audience?
Dan Farnham, whiting fisherman from New York. We keep a boat in New Bedford. I'll be brief. The 30,000-pound trip limit was a rebuilding trip limit for this fishery. We've been dealing with it for 12 years. The fishery's rebuilt. Current landings are 25% of the TAL, the TAC. There's really no reason not to bump up the trip limit by 10,000 pounds. We used to land 100,000 pounds a trip, and we've been struggling with this trip limit for the last few years, especially with the cost of fuel. And I'm asking the council to bump it up to 40,000. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. John Whiteside from New Bedford. I'm an attorney, and I represent Zeus Packing in Gloucester on this issue. And I just wanted to clarify a statement that was made just moments ago that's incorrect. Zeus Packing is in support of the possession limit being increased to 40,000 pounds. And just with the price of fuel going down in the canyons, it's needed. And we think that there's science that supports it. And we would like to clarify that position very strongly that Zeus Packing is for it. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Back to the council. Andy.
Just one clarification about some details that you may want to consider. In your amendment document, beginning on page 7-129, figure 15 shows the distribution of landings per trip in 2009 to 2011. And there are quite a few trips right at the 30,000 pounds limit in all 3 years. But if you compare that historically in figure 16 from 1999 to 2001, again, there were some trips right at 30,000 pounds, but there were not a lot of trips over that 30,000 pounds, and this was before the 30,000-pound limit went into place. Now, one caveat with that is that the data in 1999 to 2001 were a little bit suspect and not fully reported because of some issues of fish going through the New York market and accurate reporting. But that information there is there. And now on figure 17 shows the regression that we did on deviations of price due to changes in landings. And you see that in that, the message coming from it is that there's not a strong trend between amount of landings and deviations in price. It is a significant trend, but it's not a strong trend because there's a lot of variation for day to day, and each point in that represents a day of landings. This was over 2008 to 2010 time period. I'm sorry, 2009 to 2011. So there are some times where price fluctuates, but it's not strongly related to the amount of landings made on a daily basis. But it does happen. Thank you.
Dave Pierce.
Got a couple of questions of the committee regarding the nature of their discussions and some of the factors that they might have considered or not considered, and concluding that this is the right way to go, to increase the 40,000 pounds. At our last meeting when we discussed this issue, I was the one who was supporting the 40,000 to go to public hearing for further discussion, and indeed there have been some good comments received, pros and cons on going up to the 40,000. But again, relative to the committee's position and its rationale for it, I note in the presentation that there's an expected potential effort shift of 236 trips by 111 vessels, and 154 of those trips would be by 78 vessels not in the Whiting fleet. So this seems to indicate that if we go up to the 40,000, there would be an effort shift. Newer vessels not involved in the whiting fishery would suddenly be involved in that fishery. So I'm wondering, in light of all the discussions that the Whiting Committee has had about limited entry in the whiting fishery, why wasn't this a concern to the committee that would convince it that increasing the trip limit is not a good idea? So that's my first question. And then secondly, during the public comment period, there were suggestions that if indeed this is done, if we increase to 40,000 pounds, it should be done with a seasonal approach. It should go from January through the end of June. Why wasn't that seasonal approach considered as an alternative to a year-round increase up to 40,000? So those are the two questions I asked regarding clarifying the committee's position.
Okay, well, on the first question, as you know, the whiting fishery is still an open access fishery, so it is somewhat difficult to predict behavior. You know, that's the problem with an open access fishery. You have no idea who's going to enter the fishery. But as we all know, there are a number of larger vessels idled in ports at the moment that could enter the whiting fishery and may have chosen in the past not to do so based on the 30,000-pound trip limit. In other words, 30,000 may not be economically viable for them, 40,000 might be, or at least they might assume so. The other thing is that the whiting fishery has been extremely variable over the years. Every year, new people enter the whiting fishery. They make a few trips. They usually get clobbered on the price, and they exit the whiting fishery. This is a fishery that still what I would call a traditional fishery, where an individual fisherman has established a relationship with individual buyers, and if you don't have that relationship, you can't just send whiting to an auction. If you do, you get nothing. So it's what's called paying your dues. I mean, if you enter this fishery, you better be prepared to get killed on the price for a while till people realize you're actually in it for the long haul. So again, predicting who's going to enter and exit the fishery is hard. As far as the committee's discussion on alternatives, there was really only one motion put forward. It was not unanimous. It was 5-1. The rationale of the makers of that motion was that by increasing the trip limit, you might actually increase the market for whiting. That if there was more product available, perhaps more people would be interested in processing it or handling it or establishing a market that, as was noted earlier in the public comment, there are times when there is insufficient whiting in the market, so products brought in from Canada. Right now, Canada appears... The whiting market is ironic because we import fish from Canada a lot of times, and yet, at least for myself, my own personal market is in Canada. I export fish to Montreal and Toronto, among other places. So it's a matter of transportation, geographical location, all the things that go into, people making a decision on where to sell their fish. So I hope that answers your question.
I have Chairman Robbins, Rodney, Laura, and Mary Beth.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just in response to the issues that Vita raised, I think it's appropriate to consider how this change might affect small boats, but in light of the low quota utilization, I really don't think this is going to foreclose opportunities for small boats. I would add that while our council doesn't have a position on this motion, we in the course of meeting with the industry up and down the coast, we heard overwhelming concerns about fuel costs and how they're going to affect the economic viability of the fleet. And so I think this is responsive to that concern.
Rodney.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm supportive of this motion. Why is it was stated that these boats survive 12 years on 30,000 pounds. Well, 12 years ago, the price of fuel was $1.90. Today, it's $3.90. That's the difference. They have to leave port and steam 24 hours. They burn $1,000 worth of fuel just getting out there. Some of the small boats that don't want the increase are just as big as the boats that are going out there. They just chose to fish inshore and be home every night. So they don't spend that $1,000 worth of fuel going and coming. So this is just to provide a little bit of economic relief to those large boats that go out there. And as far as the market, if the market develops by increasing some more small boats to get into it, why not keep it viable for the few large boats that are into it? Thank you.
Laura?
My points have been covered. Thanks.
Mary Beth?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do support the motion, and certainly as a committee member, we did hear, you know, some of the concerns that have been expressed this morning, but I think the information we have is that, you know, this total allowable catch for this fishery is not being achieved, and this particular trip limit is acting in a fashion that would impede the fishery from achieving it. And while I understand some of the concerns that people have expressed about the market, I do not feel like I have the expertise or that the council in general should be trying to manage a market. I think, however, we should not be trying to impede markets. So, therefore, I support the motion.
Peter Kendall.
Well, to Dr. Pierce's point, it was discussed about a monthly, at the committee meeting, a monthly quota change to this. So I would like to, if I could, Mr. Chairman, amend this motion to increase the possession limit to 40,000 pounds through the months of November through June.
Do we have a second to that? Dr. Pierce. Okay. Mary Beth, then Jim.
I guess I don't understand the motion. If you could provide some rationale of why, if the TAC is, you know, the numbers are really still way off here, not achieving it, why you think this limitation is necessary?
Yeah, certainly. I don't want to take away from the bigger boats down in the south on the fuel costs. I certainly understand that. But during those months of July, August, and September, the northern boats, that's basically when the smaller northern boats are whiting fishing. And that extra 10,000 pounds on the market, you know, during that time really kills the price. So, and we heard that at the committee meeting through a couple of public comments too. So I'm just trying to strike a balance between both.
Okay, Jim.
Yeah, I'm opposed to this motion. I'm actually opposed to all this discussion about market. You know, yesterday's market has nothing to do with tomorrow's market. In fact, tomorrow there may be a nice opportunity. A lot of this market has to do with nothing more than exchange rates. We don't know where the dollar is going to be next year or the year after or any of that. All you're doing is limiting people's potential opportunity to A, either develop a market, or B, take advantage of something that might happen in the marketplace in the future. This is just absolutely crazy to be trying to manipulate the market. We can't do it. We don't have the expertise. There's nobody in the world that can do it. It's just crazy. We shouldn't even be discussing this. I'm sorry.
Rodney.
Jim made my points, but I want to add one more point. The price of fuel does not change from, what is it, November through June again. It stays the same. My fuel dealer doesn't say, oh, it's November 30th, I'm going to drop your price of fuel. It stays the same. This is just an economic boost to those boats that go out. Thank you.
Laura, did you?
Can we call the question?
We can move the question.
May we please move the question, Mr. Chairman? Pardon me.
You obviously haven't been reading your
Robert's
Rules of Order book. Oh, you failed the first test. Vito, we actually have a situation where once somebody is asked to have the question moved, if I get a second to it, it's just not debatable right now. That's the process. Is there a second? Dave Preble. All those in favor of the motion?
To move.
Just to move. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 opposed, abstention, unanimous. Okay, we're on to the motion now.
To amend.
The motion to amend. All those in favor of the motion to amend. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 in favor. Opposed. Nine opposed. Abstention. 1, 6, 9, 1. The motion to amend fails. We're back on the main motion. Vito, did you have a comment on the main motion now?
Mr. Chairman, all that is said here today on both the main motion and the second motion, there's validity to all of it. Again, I oppose this motion, Mr. Chairman. And Rodney's right. Fuel is fuel. Fuel has come down, but fuel is fuel in either November or June or July. It's a high price for fuel. There's no doubt about it. Whether you a big boat that can go offshore in the months that Mr. Kendall made the suggestion, and the small vessel that can't go offshore because he's limited. And I don't remember a small vessel being a big vessel that Rodney referred to as the same vessel he's going to stay on. Yeah, maybe the boat was built in 1944 like me. It's probably staying ashore because it can't go too far. But that's not really considered an inshore vessel. But the norm is a small vessel, you know, maybe a 60-foot vessel or a 55-foot vessel and down. I think the opportunity for the council to do something that I thought was common sense passed. I did put my hand up, but I go by what the rules say. But there was an opportunity to meet halfway between the two fishing vessels, the small and the large, and that passed. I wish I had an opportunity to speak before the vote was taken, but again, I bow to what is right. And I just sit here and I lose a little faith that you had an opportunity to help out these small boats that are getting beat either through sectors or now again through a larger trip limit. Mr. Chairman, I expressed another thought when one of the counselors through the chair here said that the market's been the same for the last 20 years. The last increase is when I spoke first. that there were many cutting houses and packing houses throughout the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, Maine, and New Hampshire at one time. There aren't those. They're all going into the New York market. And again, I spoke to the auction that said they wanted to help the small vessels. They need a place to go, and this would help them. He would like to pack a small vessel fished, giving them an opportunity where they don't have an opportunity because of what's happening with sectors. I know I'm spouting off, but I feel kind of that we should have hit the middle of the road, and I was wishing that one of the people that voted on the winning side, in my fashion to say, would ask for a vote again. I think there's an opportunity to help both sides here. And Dave Pierce brought it up, and I listened to my friend to the right here this morning. We talked about that. And again, I appeal to you to help the other side of the fishery. And thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the opportunity to speak, as always.
Back to the council. Further comment? Doug.
Just briefly, a further question of the committee. Was there any discussion around the other alternative that would only have this applied to the Southern New England exemption area? And if it was discussed, was there any reason that they decided to go with both the Mid-Atlantic and the Southern New England as opposed to just Southern New England?
The discussion was around the fact, if you look at that bubble plot that Andy had of the trips, that they cross the boundary. They're both Southern New England and Mid-Atlantic, and given that VTIs tend to only report one point, it was really hard to tell exactly whether the fish were in Southern New England or the Mid-Atlantic, so that was the discussion that was had.
Mark Gibson.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to support the motion. I have to admit I'm a bit mystified by much of the discussion, particularly about how catching less fish can be beneficial, given the what Andy reported about the lack of strong relationship between price and volume. But I found Jim Odlin's comments very compelling. It's our first job, I think, to deliver the fish, particularly under the situation where the full catch allocation not being met, let the fishermen in the markets worry about that situation. So I support the motion. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to call the question. All those in favor of the motion? Sixteen. Opposed? Abstention? 16-01. Motion carries. Dave.
Okay, unless there are any motions to reconsider any of the actions that were taken at the last council meeting, seeing none, I will make a motion as an individual, which will need a second, to submit Amendment 19.
Seconded by Mark Alexander. Discussion. Call the question. All those in favor? 16. Opposed? Abstention? 16-01. The motion carries. Dave.
Okay. We had one item that we discussed informally at the committee meeting because it was not on our agenda, and that was the issue of the control date. There is a control date for whiting. It's back in time a ways, and there was some informal discussion about whether or not the council might want to either renew that control date or put it on the agenda to have a discussion of renewing that control date.
Gene, refresh my memory. Is it if it's something that one wants to do about refreshing a control date? Is it better to republish, or what is the best?
Yeah, you'd have to. The control date is only is a creature of advance notice of proposed rulemaking. So you would publish another notice of that sort in order to, you know, refresh the control date and explain why you're doing it, to, in a very brief way, I think, or what the intent is.
What's the council's pleasure? Dave Pierce?
I'm still not sure whether this is a committee action or not. It doesn't sound like this was a motion made by the committee. You're just suggesting that there was some discussion about doing this, and now you're coming to the full council without a committee recommendation for us to act on this. So it's not, well, the word refreshing is a bit. Okay, so this is nothing from the committee, and now some motion was made to establish a new control date?
No, we did not have it on our agenda. It was not out there so that the public could comment on it, so all we could have was an informal discussion. It came up, committee members and members of the public both addressed the issue and are concerned that the control date is back in time a ways and that, therefore, it might be what's called stale. However, the full council has to establish, renew that control date or reestablish or establish a new one. So it was felt to bring it to the council, and, you know, it would be the will of the council. I think Andy can tell you the date of your last control date. I can't remember it off the top of my head.
I'm just looking through the document again. The concern is that this wasn't a satisfactory notice that we were in fact going to have this discussion today, and given that, I'm going to rule it out of order. Then I think it should be remanded to the committee to come to the council with some sort of either alternative or motion for us to consider it, so that the public can be here to make comments on that. Mary Beth?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And some of those concerns were the discussion at the committee level as well. We certainly heard from the public, and we had concerns about the fact that it was not a part of our agenda and therefore took no action at the committee level, and requested that the chairman simply report the discussion to the full council today, which Dave has done. So I think what you suggest, recognizing the issue and sending it back to the committee, is probably most appropriate.
I'll do that without objection. Jim Odlin and then Paul Howard.
Yeah, I just want to make a point that I believe there was a control date challenged in the West Coast, and the challenge was upheld. In other words, they overturned a control date, so you ought to look into the rationale of what happened there so you don't make the same mistake.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As discussed at the executive committee, I think it's very doable at the next council meeting to have the council have a notice of intent to proceed with a Whiting limited entry amendment with a scoping document already prepared in for September, and as part of that have an option to either affirm the old date or have a new one as part of that whole practice. So we can do that all, I would hope, in September.
Dave, is it Fran?
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I don't know if this adds or takes away from the conversation, but we just had a discussion of only catching about 24% of the allowable catch and up the catch limit. It's an open fishery. Why are we talking about limited entry right now?
It was one of the priorities that we voted on last year.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Dave, anything else? Sorry, Frank.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. We had a discussion this morning how it might take 5 years to do an ITQ referendum. We've been working on limited entry in the Whiting plan since, I think, 1997. That's just to get limited entry. We have had all type. We've set it to the service. It's been rejected. We've come back. We've kicked it down the road. This is a fishery. We've been talking about this forever. It's time to move it. I hope we can reestablish the control date or whatever we have to do that's defensible. But the people in the industry have been asking for this for 15 years, 18 years. This is time. It's been a priority every year, and every year it gets moved farther and farther down. We've got to get this done. Thank you.
Paul?
I'd just like to remind the council that whiting is a very data-poor fishery. The landings are suspect, and the science is very suspect on whiting. So just keep that in mind. That's why we did the ACLs and AM so late, is because they needed a data poor workshop. And when you say 24%, you got to remember it's very data poor, and landings aren't even are very suspect as well.
Dave, do we have anything else under whiting?
No, actually, just one final comment. As chair of the committee, I would like to thank the staff and the PDT. One of the reasons that whiting has moved through this process quite what I would consider easily by council standards is that both the advisors and the committee were provided with good information from the staff and the PDT that made making decisions very easy. So, thank you.
Thank you. We'll take a 10-minute break and come back and start in on ground fish.